If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
But yeah, that turns out to be the go-to resource for artists who want to see how they're doing across different channels without having to move from channel to channel. And then, because if you have to first check your stats on Spotify and then on Apple and then on YouTube, you have to hop between platforms, and it's really hard to really compare the data between so many channels. But on Vibrate, you have everything in one unified dashboard. So that's why I keep calling it Google Analytics for musicians, because that's what really are. So we analyze data with that website just for musicians.
It's easy to get lost in today's music industry with constantly changing technology and where anyone with a computer can release their own music. But I'm going to share with you why this is the best time to be an independent musician, and it's only getting better. If you have high quality music, but you just don't know the best way to promote yourself so that you can reach the right people and generate a sustainable income with your music, we're going to show you the best strategies that we're using right now to reach millions of new listeners every month without spending 10 hours a day on social media. We're creating a revolution in today's music industry, and this is your invitation to join me. I'm your host, Michael Walker. All right, so excited to be here today with Vasya. Vasya is the co-founder and chief business development officer of Vibrate, which is a leading global music analytics platform that's dedicated to helping industry experts to understand their data. They've collaborated with brands like Apple, Sony, UMG, Amazon, United Masters, and Empire. So, you know, some of the biggest companies in the world. And I'm excited to bring him on the podcast today to talk about something that is probably the sexiest topic you can possibly imagine, which is data. data, as an aspiring software developer and learning how to write code in the past 2 years and working with databases and starting to understand the object-oriented model of how data is structured, I find it fascinating, in particular with the rise of AI and the ability to train these tools based on data. So I'm really looking forward to connecting with you and just hearing your insights on the value of data and how independent artists in particular, which is really the audience that is here for the conversation, how does this pertain to them and how do they make the most out of the data that they have from their fans? So Vasya, thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Yeah. So, It's probably the least sexy part of the music business. back when we started, it was 10 years ago. Back then I was managing a very big techno DJ. You mentioned you're from Orlando, so we were in Miami this time of year every time for Ultra Music Festival. And yeah, this was the time when I started pitching the idea of analyzing data sets in the music industry, and everybody was, why would anyone use stats in such a cool industry as music? Turns out everybody's using stats now. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of value in analytics, because back in the 70s and 80s, if you wanted to find musicians. You just have to go. You had to go out on a Friday or Saturday night to your local bar and just listen to musicians who were playing there. And that was it was much easier to keep track, because right now, you know how it is, 100,000 songs get uploaded every day to DSPs. And it's impossible to keep track what's trending, who's hot, who's fading away, unless you have a service like Vibrate, because here we analyze right now about 1 million unique artist profiles. And we use filters like genres, subgenres, and we look into data from all major streaming and social sites, plus 30,000 radio stations and some services like Shazam, Beatport for electronic musicians. So we try to look into all the relevant data, and then we use that to rank artists according to their popularity. So that's the base product, is ranking, and then you have various charts, and then each artist is represented with the analytics profile. It's like looking at Google Analytics, but for artists. So we analyze all the channels in detail. We detect trends. You can compare artists with one another, see what others are doing, how successful they are, maybe learn from what they do. And it's a very valuable tool for A&Rs and talent scouts. So it's quite easy to spot a trending musician who's not already signed to a major label and is really breaking out on Spotify or TikTok. And then it just click on their analytics profile, check what they did. If you like their music, if you like their stats, you look for the contact, reach out to them, and give them a deal.
Super interesting. Yeah, so if I'm understanding it right, kind of the primary use case that you just described is for maybe an A&R or a talent scout or someone like a record label services to be able to discover untapped potential with like with someone who's gaining notoriety or gaining, you know, ranking up, but they don't currently have someone that is like signed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's one use case. And on the other side, the use case for artists is they improve their chances of being discovered. Because if you're breaking out and services like Vibrate or other competitive services don't have you in their database, then you're missing out, because maybe a talent scout that would otherwise discover you because your song went viral on Spotify, they don't find you because your profile is not in a database. So if it's not in a database, you can go and you can open a profile free of charge, and we'll start measuring your data. For artists, it improves their chances of being discovered. And for non-creative music professionals like managers, talent agents, promoters, it's a really good resource to discover artists, and not just up-and-coming musicians. So a lot of promoters use us, especially when they have to fill up the non-headlining positions, like warm-up musicians. Because sometimes if you have a huge festival, actually after this call, I have a call with one of the biggest electronic music promoters in the U.S., and they have to book up to 400 DJs for the festival. You run out of ideas. Trust me. I was working in electronic music for over 10 years. We were hosting a couple of label nights here in Ljubljana, Slovenia. After four editions, we ran out of ideas who to book next. And we were professionals. We had a lot of experience. We thought we knew everyone, and it's just not true. And also for promoters, usually if you only book artists that you like personally, you can quickly lose money, because maybe people who should buy tickets don't share your taste for music. Of course, I always say you have to work with the music that you like, but it also helps if you have a resource to see if that particular artist is also popular in your city, because that will increase chances of a sold-out event.
Mm. Super cool. Yeah, I mean, it seems like one use case, and I'm curious to hear exactly how it works in terms of an interface for like artists who might be interested in using the platform. I guess one question to start with is, the data that is included, that's being charted, is it only people who like add their own profile that it's charting from, or is it like, is it ranking people based on like Spotify's API or?
So, someone has to open a profile, whether this is a fan or a manager or artists themselves, or maybe we add them because we spot them on a hot playlist. Of course, if you're an artist, if you find your profile, you can claim it. So it's a user generated platform. But yeah, sometimes it'll happen that an artist isn't in a database, and then you have to open a profile. We do it for them. That's why I always ask artists, make sure your profile is in our database, because otherwise we're missing out.
Cool. And the service, like, can anyone go and add their profile to the database just to like have it on there? Or what does it look like in terms of the different services that you offer related to like for an artist who's potentially looking at using this resource?
So for artists, actually the best use case for artists is to use what we call Vibrate for Artists. So it's a special plan that's tailor-made for artists. It's also much cheaper than my base plan. So our base plan costs $239 per year, which is still cheap. But our artist plan is $3 a month, built annually. So it's really, really cheap. It's less than a beer a month. And so while the main plan gives you access to stats for all artists on the platform, so about a million artists, artist plan only gives you access to your own stats. So you can analyze everything about yourself. And it's also slightly based on first party data, which is a big advantage. So if you grant us access to your Spotify for artists, your Apple for artists, we will start pulling data from that as well, because otherwise we pull data from public APIs. Sometimes they have like data glitches. It's not as wide as having access to first party data. But yeah, that turns out to be the go-to resource for artists who want to see how they're doing across different channels without having to move from channel to channel. And then, because if you have to first check your stats on Spotify and then on Apple and then on YouTube, you have to hop between platforms, and it's really hard to really compare the data between so many channels. But on Vibrate, you have everything in one unified dashboard. So that's why I keep calling it Google Analytics for musicians, because that's what really are. So we analyze data, but not for websites, just for musicians.
Super cool. Yeah, so if I'm understanding you right, you know, it is possible to have like a profile, like a fan, you know, generates a profile for you and then it tracks it, but it's only access to third party data. So yeah, it's not going to be as good as if someone pays the, you know, $3 a month, which is, you know, hardly anything.
Yeah, if you claim the profile, you have to prove that you're actually controlling your profile. So that's why we ask you to grant us access to your feed from your DSPs. Because otherwise we won't share any of your private data with anyone but yourself. Or if you, let's say, have a manager and you say, okay, also share it with this account. So it has to be like that. But yeah, fans added most of the profiles, especially from bigger superstars. And then it's up to their managers to claim it.
Interesting. One question that I have is around how the service is built. Just out of curiosity, do you have any sort of like provider API service where we have a software company that is a CRM platform that helps artists run, you know, email campaigns and to build, you know, a Patreon style membership community with their fans? And I'm just imagining it'd be pretty cool for us to have an integration with a platform like yours to be able to create a dashboard of all of their socials. And we have some social integrations right now, yeah, but just it was something that I was curious to hear if you have any sort of integrations like that.
Yeah, we do have an API. It's one of our products. And actually, a lot of clients use it for exactly that reason that you mentioned. So it's a great resource to pre-populate any public artist profiles with content, because usually, especially with talent agencies, they have a bunch of artists with a bunch of profiles. And when a promoter goes and checks a certain artist, usually the content there is outdated. And then the link to their Twitter feed doesn't work because they changed the API. Actually, after Elon Musk took it over, they completely shut down their API. And usually YouTube videos are really old. They don't reflect what's currently happening with the artists. That's really bad. And I know it's impossible to maintain hundreds of profiles manually. And this is where we come in, because our algorithms will push the trending content or the latest content, whatever you select directly on those profiles, including stats, trends, all the useful information. And this way you can be 100% sure that all the profiles are constantly up to date. It's up to artists to upload to native channels, like upload videos to YouTube. But then from there on, we take care of everything. So based on stats, we'll just push whatever our algorithms think that represents the artist best at that particular moment.
Very cool. I'd love to connect more on that and see what that might look like if we were going to integrate with a service like yours for a dashboard for reporting on music related analytics. I mean, for us, like we have very good analytics on their CRM platform and the results from their campaigns within the platform. But I think for a lot of artists, it'd be interesting for them to see the social media dashboard as well. I'm curious to hear your thoughts to take things in a little bit of a different direction. Around data and what's happening right now with like AI. And obviously the past year has been a huge breakout year for AI. It's been around for a long time, but in particular with OpenAI and ChatGPT, it's been taken, it's escalated quickly. Now Sora just got announced and that's amazing. And one of the most interesting things about the technical paper they released was that they showed that literally just adding more data, adding more compute, significantly improved the results of the video. Like little data, very poor dog, looked all warbly. Decent amount of data, started to look a little bit more like a dog, 16 times the amount of data. It actually looks exactly like high fidelity, like a dog. And that was really the main thing, was just more data, more compute. And then there's emergent properties from the AI that just started to take its own life. I'm curious from your perspective, being a data person and being, in this world, how do you see, are there any plans or things that you're considering with the data that, that you're collecting? Is there a use case for like AI to be able to predict trends? Or, as an artist, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on AI and where you think things are going if someone wants to make the most out of it.
Yeah, so predictions are always tricky because there are elements of luck, of being in the right place at the right time, being spotted by the right person. You never know what's going to pick up with certain target groups. So it's not that data services have a crystal ball to know exactly who's going to break out in a year or so. Because if we had that feature, we wouldn't offer it to labels. We would become a label, probably the most successful in the world. So we tried a bunch of models of predicting which song is going to blow up, but it's just, it's not reliable enough to be monetizable right now. But we do use AI, especially we're one of the clients of OpenAI. We use their API, but it just for features that are in the background. So you can imagine that we need to deal with a lot of data sets that aren't 100% compatible. So you have to match a Spotify ID with a YouTube ID for the same artist, because if you want all that data to point to one profile, we have to match this. And before AI, we had 120 human curators who sometimes needed to go actively search for profiles for a certain artist or correct wrong data for a million profiles. You can imagine how tedious that can be. But with the arrival of ChatGPT and OpenAI's API, we managed to teach OpenAI to do this for us. And that saved a lot of money for us. Also, we haven't, and this is just early alpha, so it's just a closed system. So we use ChatGPT, this train on our data, to automatically apply filters. So you can basically speak to Vibrate as a service like you were speaking to me, but a human language asking us, can you show me the most trending rock musicians on Spotify from Norway? And it will automatically apply all the filters and show you the chart. Because like I said before, it is the least sexy niche of the music industry. And a lot of music executives don't like to use services like us because they don't want to click filters and move sliders around. But what they want to know is exactly that. Who are the most trending artists without having to do all this stuff? And this way, they'll just have a chat bot answering the questions. It is in very early stages, but hopefully it's going to be launched soon. And I think it's going to be a pretty, pretty cool feature.
Mm, sounds like it. Yeah, it's really interesting to see. There's so many different use cases that exactly what you're describing right now, like creating an interface with the AI services to streamline. I know for us, like the huge focus point this year is to streamline the onboarding process where we can personalize, you know, an artist's email templates to match their voice, and rather than just having a cookie cutter template they start with. But I could go down a big rabbit hole here, so I'll try to prevent like going too far down it. But yeah, there's some interesting points that Spinoza made. He was I think Albert Einstein was famously quoted on saying, you know, I believe in the God of Spinoza. And Spinoza, like, he created articles or proofs about how the universe works. And the reason I bring him up was just that he brought up an interesting point about prediction. And it seems like prediction is really at the core of how our brains work and also how these AI tools work, because they're like predicting the next token. But it seems like the nature of thought is sort of predictive in nature in a certain way. Like, we set goals, we have thoughts. So it just seemed like there's, I don't know, like, you know, the movie Minority Report, where like they can predict the crimes that happen before the crimes happen. They like put them away in jail. It is interesting to think about that, in particular, like the use case for a tool like what you're offering with the amount of, you know, of data that if you could start to, you know, create a prediction engine, which, I mean, you kind of already are in a way. Like, the reason that services use you is because they want to be able to predict, you know, who is the next up and coming trend, but it just still takes that bit of human, you know, deciphering, and we don't have the answers yet. The reason I brought up Spinoza is because his point was that there's always a prediction. There's always a cause and effect. We just might not understand it. But if we did understand it, then we could actually predict, you know, things with more fidelity. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, it's it's easy to predict how many streams an artist is going to get tomorrow. But this is not how you discover artists who are going to blow up next year. And this is the sweet spot. So you have to get them while they're still not super famous. It's just the time period is too long. So, but I mean, like you said yourself, we're in a way we are predicting it, but we're not answering the entire question. So we will just direct you in the general direction, and the rest is up on you and your luck and your skill. And because also, skill is definitely not only with the artist, also with who an artist is working with. So you have a skillful manager, a label, your agent, if they know how to sell you, if they have other artists on the roster they can match you up with, if you have a good marketer. So there are a lot of factors that can change the artist's path regardless of the stats. You can start with zero if you have a really good team behind you. You have a good chance of making it, or vice versa. You can have amazing stats, but if you don't, if you want to work alone, if you don't want help, because if you want to make it on a global market, you need to have a team. If you choose not to have it, you're not going to make it. It's just as simple as that. So those are all the factors that cannot be predicted.
Mm. Yeah, super interesting. Yeah, I mean, in order to predict something like that, you'd really have to like basically understand the totality of everything. Like you'd have to have data on every like the connections, the relationships that they're having with other people, like the
Actually,
producers.
We have that. So we analyze the artists' followers, and we can single out followers who are artists. So if you have a like a rock band you play in our garage, Metallica starts following you on SoundCloud. They like your music. So something's happening there, and we have that data. And also we have a very simple methods. So you can select if you're looking for a new, if you stay with rock, if you're looking for a new hot rock band, you can use our performance filters. So you can filter out first, you filter out rock musicians, and then after that, you start playing with stats. So you can say, don't show me the top 50,000 artists in the world, because those are already signed to a label. They're already probably superstars. So you start browsing below rank 50,000. And then you say, at the same time, show me which of those musicians have over 200,000 Spotify monthly listeners. So not super famous, but amazing engagement on Spotify. So they're actually getting traction. And then finally you say, show me only unsigned artists, because we also have label information. And then you usually end up with a neat list of like 100 artists out of a million. Just with a couple of tricks, you dilute the database from a million artists to 100 that fit your profile of what you're looking for. And this is not prediction, but it narrows down your list of potentially interesting artists. And then it's up to you to go check out what they did. And if you like what they did, you can contact them.
Super interesting. Yeah, I can totally understand how a tool like that would be extremely valuable to talent scouts for being able to identify the opportunities. And it's interesting, just on this topic of prediction, definitely depends on where you draw the line. Like, what do you say as like prediction? But I would definitely classify as that as like a form of prediction, and in a really valuable form of prediction. And yeah, then the question might just be like, where's the limit of like, how much can we actually predict? Where does the spectrum lie? To bring things back down to earth a little bit, I mean, I love having this conversation. This is one of my favorite, you know, types of things to geek out about. But I'd love to connect with our live audience that's here and see if there's any questions that they have they'd like to ask you personally. So if you have any questions that you'd like to ask to Fasia, you can raise your hand and we'll bring you on live. And we've been doing a little bit of tech stuff here, so we'll see if this works. Vaz is coming on here live. And Vaz, if you want to say hey, we'll see if we can hear it.
Hello. I have a simple question. I went and checked your website out. It looks outstanding, and it looks like you offer a nice tiered service that could be affordable for most artists who are interested in following their stats. But I have a simple question. Properly implementing metadata so that it works throughout all the different systems that tracks that information. Do you provide any tips or services to your members for them to properly implement metadata onto their songs? Or is this something that you already have them do?
Yeah, so we're not actually offering this. So we're not in a metadata business, just to a certain level that we need to implement in order to track stats. So we were in the popularity business. For metadata, you have services like Jaxta or Genius. So they provide a much better service here. So unfortunately, we have some basic like ISRCs, stuff like that. We don't have underlying information. So who's the author of the song? or the songwriter, stuff like that. We don't have it, fortunately.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. So you really focus on the tracking the stats that help people to predict the I keep wrapping on prediction, but it allows people to figure out who are the artists who might be the best fit for an opportunity.
It's also some marketers use our audience data. So we have a whole audience tab. So when you plan a marketing campaign, you need to know whether listeners are mostly, I don't know, females aged 18 to 24, then you go to TikTok. Where are they from? So if they're from the US or France or Germany, so you have to then channel your marketing efforts to those countries where you know that the audience actually is. So yeah, it's not just prediction. It's also analysis, planning marketing campaigns, monitoring the effectiveness of marketing campaigns. So after you invest a bunch of money into a campaign and maybe have a tour for an album, you want to see spikes. You want to see spikes in your audience engagement, in the growth of your audience. And this is everything. We offer all those metrics.
Super helpful. Awesome. Any other questions that people would like to ask while we're here live? If you have a question, you can right-click on your profile and raise your hand. Or if you want to put it in the chat, I can also forward the question for you as well. And I see David, he raised his hand, so we'll bring him on here to stage. Hey, David.
Hey, really interesting stuff. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I really think is great, especially you do. Now, this is just for live performances you do this, or what do you think is your strongest
Yeah, thanks, so David. It sounds like the question is, yeah, what platforms specifically do you integrate with, and what kind of data are you grabbing it from?
Live is just a small fraction. We do have some information about concerts. We tap into APIs of major ticket providers, but it's just a really, really small percentage. So our focus is still on recorded. So we tap into major streaming services, social media sites, radio stations, and other specialized music services. So I think right now we have 17, give or take, channels. But all the global ones that actually matter. So yeah, I mean, we actually started as a live music service, but then quickly we saw that there's a bigger opportunity in record, especially after the pandemic hit. Live was practically dead. But yeah, I mean, in terms of live, we have probably the world's biggest organized database of festivals. So we have over 6,300 festival profiles with all the lineups, future and past, all the analysis. You can filter festivals by their genre, by their country, size, stuff like that. So that's also a part of it, not just artists, also festivals.
Very cool. Yeah, so it sounds like there's, you know, in addition to live, which is just a small part, which is included, you know, through so you have that part of it, but it's also mainly about all of the different platforms and having a broad perspective of, you know, their music distribution and their social media and their live shows to be able to create that ranking. Awesome.
Yeah, and also it's connected. So if you're a promoter from New York, if you want to book an artist that's not super famous and you're not really sure whether they're going to sell out or not, you can check the recorded stats. So you can see if they have 30,000 monthly listeners from Spotify coming out of New York, if they have 10,000 TikTok fans that live in New York, 20,000 Instagram followers from New York, those are probably people who are going to buy a ticket to see the act live. So you can use data from recorded also in live, and a lot of promoters do that.
Got it. Yeah, so it's helpful for, you know, planning live shows, planning markets, seeing, you know, untapped opportunities that you can lean into. Cool. Someone asked about, do you think it's valid to be concerned about AI replacing musicians and companies like yours and just like all of us, like AI replacing us? So I'd be curious to hear your perspective on the rise of AI as a technology and how we should view it in terms of, you know, in terms of, you know, using it as a tool, and like, how do we, like, with that fear, like, is AI going to replace us? How do you think we should respond to that?
It depends whether it becomes sentient or not, because that's all music is all about. So you have to be sentient to write emotional lyrics. Of course, AI is going to learn how to write, how to mimic emotional lyrics. But I mean, emotion is something that we feel. So you can feel whether it's fake or not sooner or later. Maybe you even won't know why you feel the difference between a human written song and AI written song. But I think it's going to be there. The difference is going to be there. And also, people like to go to concerts to see the band on the stage, play the music, try to catch the guitar pick in the crowd when the guitarist throws it in. Stuff like AI cannot replicate, other than, I don't know, having robots playing guitars and drums on the stage. It's just going to be the same. And people love to go to concerts. We saw after the pandemic ended, the concert industry grew beyond where it was in 2019 before the pandemic, because people wanted to go out so much. So that's the part that's not going to be replaced by AI. But recorded music, I mean, I listened to a couple of AI-generated songs, and they're pretty good. And they're going to get better and better and better, especially in electronic music, which is my previous career. There can be, I mean, AI-generated songs can be pretty fascinating and pretty cool sounding. I think that first we're going to see AI DJs, and after that it's going to be rock bands, not the other way around. But actually, a couple of days ago, I saw an AI-based robot playing the drums. Amazing.
Wow.
But I'm not afraid that it's going to completely replace it, because, like I said, a big part of music is emotions. And so far, luckily, AI doesn't have emotions. So let's try to keep it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty wild. It does seem like AI as a tool, you know, it's, you still need someone to be at, like, prompting it and kind of guiding it in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And so it in and of itself doesn't seem like it would be that, like, entertaining to listen to, but a human using AI to be able to create, you know, and compose a song at a very high level seems like that's totally something that, that at least in the short term, like, that's what will happen. So it's like all of us as musicians, like, we should be using AI as much as possible, learning how it works, using it to, as a tool. But also to your point around community and live shows, it seems like we have a big opportunity to focus in on the parts that AI can't replace, which is like the connection or the human to human part of it. So all the things we're doing around building community and, you know, live, you know, communities seem like that's a good bet to, you know, to hedge your bets on, because the music generation itself is something that's gonna be pretty easy to replace pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather than on threats, I would focus in the music industry, I would focus on where musicians can use AI to improve their working process. So I use AI constantly. When I speak at conferences, I write down a speech, and then I have ChatGPT pimp it up for me, because it's always better. And same goes for music. So my friend Christian from Norway, he has this cool AI startup called Master Channel, and they use AI for mastering. So you can upload your songs and AI is going to master them for you, even convert your stereo to spatial audio. And that saves a lot of money. It works amazingly well. And we should look for tools that could improve music production instead of just constantly asking.
What was the name of that tool? Master Channel? That's cool.
Master Thanks, Channel stereo channels. AI.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's actually constantly, when I'm visiting conferences, listening to panels, there are constantly debates, threats of AI. How should we treat copyright? How should we do that? How should we protect the industry? I mean, those are definitely legit questions, but what I'm missing is the equal amount of how should we use AI to improve what we're doing. And we use it with, like I already explained, we use it heavily, and it helped save us a lot of money. It helped make our service better, faster. So yeah, it's the technology is here. Let's use it any way we can. And yeah, of course, let's not abuse it. That's also a topic that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, definitely. With great power comes great responsibility. And you know, the same tool can be used to do good things, and also can be used to, you know, to create destruction. So the most important thing then is figuring out the intention behind what we're doing and the purpose for it, and then using the tools to, you know, achieve purposes that make things better for us all. Awesome. Well, Fascia, man, it's rare that I get to talk and geek out this much about data and about, If anyone's, you know, been listening to our podcast, they know like I love to go on about AI and this stuff. I think it's, you know, fascinating. But I definitely appreciate what you brought to the conversation in terms of your background with your company. And it seems like an extremely valuable service that you're providing. So thank you for being on the podcast today. And for anyone who's interested in, thank you. For anyone that's interested in connecting more or learning more about the tool, what's the best place for them to go to dive deeper?
Yeah, vibrate.com, and yeah, also connect. Let's connect on LinkedIn. I'm the only Vasya Weber with that name. it's quite easy to find me. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Yeah! Hey, it's Michael here. I hope that you got a ton of value out of this episode. Make sure to check out the show notes to learn more about our guest today. And if you want to support the podcast, then there's a few ways to help us grow. First, if you hit subscribe, then that'll make sure you don't miss a new episode. Secondly, if you share it with your friends or on your social media, tag us, that really helps us out. And third, best of all, if you leave us an honest review, it's going to help us reach more musicians like you who want to take their music careers to the next level. The time to be a modern musician is now, and I look forward to seeing you on our next episode.